Recording in progress.
All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Phil Albrecht. I'm hearing examiner for Kitsap County. This morning, we're holding a hearing on a preliminary plat application. This is file 3-03248 for the Provost subdivision. Hearing format today, we'll have a presentation from staff. And I think hold on a sec here. Just lining up my documents still. Ms. Kreifels, are you doing the presentation today? Okay.
I am.
So, Ms. give us an overview of the project. When she's done, we'll move on to applicant. If they want to add anything, they don't have to, but that would be their opportunity right after Ms. Kreifels. Then we'll move on to public comments if anyone from the public joins us. And so far, it looks like we may. Ms. Jones, is there anyone in the hearing room here for this proceeding today?
There's no one physically present in the room.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, but once we get to that portion of the hearing, if anyone does join us, we'll give them a chance to speak and explain how they can make their comments heard. After that, we go back to Ms. Kreifels to answer any questions raised, and then the applicant gets final word. So by state law, I'm only allowed to consider evidence put in the record, which is composed of the testimony provided today, as well as the exhibits put into the record. And I see we have so far a total of 35 exhibits. Is that correct, Ms. Jones? Has that been updated since the staff report?
That is correct, 35 exhibits.
So at this point, I just want to ask, since it doesn't look like we have any members of the public here yet, I won't go into detail, but just want to ask if anyone needs to see any of these documents or has any objection to their entry in the record. If you do, click on the virtual hand at the bottom of your screen, or if you're in the meeting room, wave your hand so Ms. Jones can recognize you. And I do have, someone, Jeannie. Make her heard there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Gina, did you want to see these documents? Or?
Yes, please. I do have the, are they the same documents that are on the examiner's site?
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, they should be.
Okay, then I do have it copied. If there was just anything different is what I was looking for.
Oh, yeah, there's a total of 35 documents ending with 35, the hearing sign-in sheet, and that's listed on page 6 and 7 of the staff report. So if you've got all that, then you're set.
Thank you.
Okay, great. All right, so I'll go ahead and admit the staff report and exhibits 1 through 35. So, Ms. Kreifels, let me swear you in. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Go ahead.
All right. I will get started pulling up the PowerPoint. All right. Thank you. Good morning, examiner. Today, I am presenting a preliminary plat application number 2303248, requested by applicant Huber Properties, LLC. The applicant requests approval to subdivide approximately 4.63 acres into 16 individual lots for the benefit of single-family residences. Site improvements will include stormwater management, on-site parking, utilities, landscape buffers, and recreational open space tracts. The subject site is located along Provost Road Northwest, which is also where it will receive access from. Parcel number is 202501208520006. And it's within the Silverdale Urban Growth Area of Central Kitsap and Commissioner District 3. Services will be provided by Silverdale Water, as well as on-site community septic systems. The subject site is a hilly, fully forested property, flanked on the north side by a drainage valley and single-family homes. To the west are also single-family residences. And there is vacant forested land at the south. And due east, abutting the proposal site, lies Provost Road. And then there is a military zoning, providing railroad tracks beyond that, with State Route 3 further and Dyes Inlet a little bit further than that, just to give you some reference. The zoning map at the left has the subject site lined in green, and it shows that the zoning is urban low. This allows density to be 5 to 9 units per acre. Zoning setbacks are 20 feet at the front, 5 feet at the sides, and 10 feet at the rear. And the comprehensive plan designation is urban low density residential. The critical areas map indicates there is a fish type creek to the east of the parcel. A stream typing site visit was facilitated by county staff, and that confirmed that there is one wetland and one stream. They've both been identified in the biologist's report. There's a small portion of Category 4 wetland found on site in the corner. A Type F stream runs diagonally across the far northwest corner of the site, and Kitsap County maps show some moderate landslide hazard mapping. The site is on a knoll with gentle to steep slopes to the east, north, and west, and elevation change between the highest areas of the site and Provost Road Northwest are on the order of 40 feet. So the application was deemed complete August 3rd, 2023, and pursuant to Washington Administrative Code 197-11355, the optional DNS process was utilized for this project. The SEPA comment period previously occurred concurrently with the notice of application dated August 24th, 2023. Public comments are on the next slide. A determination of non-significance was issued on September 10th, 2024, and no appeals were filed. So this slide shows the public comments were received from Suquamish Tribe, and that was for the site visit to identify stream typing as well as the location of the stream. There were two additional comments from community members concerning congestion, density, infrastructure, traffic impacts, and traffic fees. Slide 10 here shows the proposal survey, and we have 16 lots. The proposal is meeting Kitsap County Code 16-24040 for urban standards, including 390 square feet per lot or 6,242 square feet of recreational open space area to be provided for amenities shown here in Track C. This slide shows the community drain fields supported by Kitsap County Public Health District. And a final landscaping and irrigation plan is, well, not the final, but here is a preliminary landscape plan. A final landscape and irrigation plan will be required to be submitted and reviewed with the civil site development permit for conformance with Kitsap County Code 17-500-030, which depicts natural vegetation and the planting and irrigation plan, and will be subject to approval by the department prior to SDAP issuance. Here are some Google Earth images. At the left, we are looking north from the southeast corner of the subject site, abutting the right-of-way along Provost Road. And the image at the right is facing southerly from the northeast corner. And here are some imagery shots. On the left, we see 1994. On the right, we see 2024. I'm sorry, 2021. This slide shows the provisions for decreasing buffer. There will be no direct or indirect impacts to the streams. However, the buffers of the stream require a reduction in the outer 25% as allowed through an administrative variance from 150 to 112.5 feet, and that will be for lots 15 and 16. These impacts would be offset by extending the buffer using buffer averaging with a native plant enhancement plan in the vicinity of tracks B and C, where there will be more of a intense land use due to the proximity to Road A. Here is the planning plan proposed to mitigate the 5,629 square feet of vegetation removal, a habitat management plan meeting Kitsap County Code 19-700-720 was included in the application materials and does provide conditions sufficient to assure a no net loss of ecological functions of the affected fish and wildlife habitat conservation area. The maintenance and monitoring plan contains contingencies to ensure success of the plantings for 10 years. Staff has reviewed the administrative buffer reductions based on the criteria and standards referenced in Chapter 19-100-135 for variances and finds the criteria has been met. Conditions are added for a final mitigation planting plan with SDAP submittal, including the monitoring and the maintenance. And based upon the analysis, and the decision criteria found in Kitsap County Code 1640.030, the Department of Community Development recommends that the Provost preliminary plat request be approved, subject to conditions found in the staff report. This concludes the staff's presentation. Thank you, Examiner, and I am available for questions.
Okay, great. Thanks, Ms. Kreifels. All right, well, let's move on to the applicant at this point. Did the applicants want to add anything? No takers? Do you see anyone who wants to speak, Ms. Jones, on behalf of the applicant?
Looks like one person raised their hand. I think this might be Marianne Weber. I'll allow her to talk.
Is she here on behalf of the applicant, Ms. Weber?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my name's Matt Weber.
Oh, I'm Matt. Okay. Apologies.
And Mr. Weber, are you part of the applicant team?
Yes, I am.
Okay, let me swear you in. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth and nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, and just so you know, your camera's not on. That's not required, but sometimes people don't realize that's the case. So
I'm trying to turn it on, but I don't see that I have an option to turn it on.
Okay, yeah, that should be at the bottom left of your screen where it says video. If your video's not working, it will have a red line through it. And then if you just click on it, that opens it up.
I think that this is a webinar, and so I was not given permission to share my
Gotcha. All right. We'll just go ahead then. That's fine.
I am quite cute, though, so you would like to see me. That's a joke, but
yeah.
Well, I guess first off, yeah, my name is Matt Weber. I'm a civil engineer with AHBL, and I'm representing Huber Properties LLC. So I've been involved with the project since the beginning, and this has been a long time coming. So thank you, Jenny and Darren, for getting us here today. And Jenny, I thought Jenny did a great job in her presentation, just giving the overview. She did mention the topography, and so the topography of the site is adding some constraints. And so we've spent a lot of time working on this layout with the buffer averaging that Jenny mentioned and the replanting and the mitigation. That the type F stream that Jenny mentioned, we did meet with Fish and Wildlife and the tribes, and even there are no fish in this stream. The headwater of this stream is actually a storm pond, so there are no fish that are in that stream, and there's culverts downstream that don't allow fish to come in, but it was typed as a type F stream because of the fact that perhaps in the future, you know, it met the criteria that fish could get there, perhaps in the future when the downstream culverts might be opened up. There's no plan for that, Mr. Examiner. But anyway, I do think that's important. And as Jenny mentioned, there is no net loss in habitat, and we will be mitigating that. I guess in terms of the recommended conditions, the applicant is agreeable to the recommended conditions with the exception of two that I'd like to introduce a potential, or maybe Jenny could add clarification. We didn't have time yesterday to correspond, but those recommended conditions are number 47 and 48. And what those conditions are referencing is that, prior to SDAP acceptance, that we needed to go to WSDOT, so the Washington State Department of Transportation, to get concurrence. Yeah, there you go. The main thing there was that I was concerned about the, I guess in 48, where it says that final plan approval will require documentation of Washington State Department of Transportation approval for impacts to and any required mitigation on state rights of way. That was concerning to me that, you know, the mitigation for this project has already been determined with the CEPA determination and with this hearing today, and that it wouldn't be appropriate for further mitigation that's not known today. With that said, yesterday I did reach out to WashDOT, Jeff Smiley, and Andy Larson, who represents WashDOT, and I do have an email from them saying that they have no interest in this project and there is no further mitigation, or they don't have any reason to, they're not interested in this project. There's no impact to WashDOT. But I do have an email from them that I could, like I said, I emailed Jenny yesterday to questioning these two conditions, but we just didn't have a chance to correspond. So I'm asking the examiner to strike conditions number 47 and number 48. And if the county, if Jenny agrees with me, then that might be the end of that. If there's still a question about that, then I'd like to enter an exhibit, which is an email from Jeff Smiley and also Andy Larson, noting that they have no interest in this project.
Yeah. Well, I think either way, even if staff doesn't agree to have that stricken, it would be useful to have that email in there to show that that impacts that to this state system have been mitigated to the extent possible. Do you have a problem with making that an exhibit?
No, I'm prepared to do that. I don't think I can share my screen.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how to enter it into as an exhibit here today.
Yeah, if you just email that to Ms. Kreifels after the hearing, you can make it part of the record. I just want to ask at this point, would anyone have any objections to entry of an email from the WashDOT, Washington State Department of Transportation, saying that they don't, they haven't, they're not requesting any mitigation of the state road system? So if you do, just click your virtual hand, or in the meeting room, you know, wave your hand. Okay, no objections. And what's our exhibit number again, Ms. Jones?
This one would be exhibit 36.
Okay, so that's admitted as 36. Yeah, that's right. Okay, and Ms. Price, when we get back to staff comments, if you could address the condition 47 and 48 issue. But all right, at this point, let's move on to public comments. Now's the time for members of the public. And Ms. Jones, I take it there still hasn't been any members of the public who have entered the meeting room. Is that correct?
That's correct. No one in the meeting room, but it does look like we have somebody who would like to speak.
Right, yeah. So Jenny wants to speak at this point, so let's let her speak. Okay. Jenny, let me swear you in real quick. Just raise your right hand. You swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Oh, and Jenny, we need your last name for the record.
Nick, J-A-Z-U-K, space,
okay,
Dunn, D-U-N-N.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
I have read the proposal. And being a homeowner of the property north since 1994, and now my son owns that same property, we have the reality of living there and knowing what the impact has on that piece of property. I also live in the Silver Leaf community, which is right behind this, well, a little down and behind the community, which is 60 houses on a very small amount of acreage. And in these 60 houses, it is the same design as the one proposed here. And having lived here 10 years, reality tells me that the streets are not wide enough for emergency vehicles. The parking is insufficient, but the only thing that's the saving grace for Silverleaf is the fact that we are on public sewer. We are not on septic. What truly concerns me is the fact that the building here that's being proposed is wanting a community septic system, which now, in Silverleaf community, we have 60 houses on the small thing. 60% of those houses now are rentals. Now, I'm fully aware of the fact that renters do not treat septic like an owner. And the consequences to that would be tragic for not only the property on Shelley, but also the property behind it. The environmental impact could be just horrific, and we would not be able to. All I'm asking for is that if you're going to put such dense housing, that it be on public sewer and not on septic. That's all I'm, because it would be irresponsible not to, having lived here and continuing to live here. And I know what's going to happen. It's not going to be pretty.
Thank you, Ms. Jasek. Thanks for your comments. All right, and we can address those concerns during staff rebuttal. Is there anyone else out there who wants to speak as a member of the public? All right, not seeing any takers, so we'll go back to Ms. Kreifels and Mr. Gurney. There are a couple issues there. One is, why is septic being used instead of sewer, and the other about the striking conditions. I believe it was 47 and 48.
We are looking into that. That would be a development engineering condition. And so we should know soon when we hear back. And no, I didn't get the email from Mr. Weber until this morning, so my apologies. But it also looks like condition 46 has some verbiage in there about WSDOT. So we'll look into all three of those conditions. I very well could be a mistake or a typo, but we are checking into it. Also in reference to fire, emergency vehicle access has been conditioned and will be required under the code. So there's a conditions for that and findings for that, and it will be assessed further during the SDAP process. But yeah, roads have to be a certain width for fire apparatus.
And I couldn't remember, so this is what the zoning was. Let's see, so this is urban low, is it? So I take it's in an urban growth area, right? So
correct.
Why is septic being allowed as opposed to sewer here?
So we were just looking into, okay. I'm going to let Darren Gurney speak to that.
Okay. Mr. Gurney, let me swear you in. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
So, as you are aware, the urban growth area is typically the preferred method of effluent is through a sewer system. However, our code only requires connection to a sewer system that has capacity if it's within 200 feet of the parcel. In this case, no sewer lines exist within that distance, and I believe they're over a mile away, and we don't even know if those lines have capacity or if they would need to be expanded. So in that situation, we do allow for what is called a large on-site septic system that allows for an urban level of service through septic systems.
You know, are you aware of health department monitoring of those systems? Do they like check up on those every few years, or how's that issue handled?
I don't know if there is a monitoring component. It would be the equivalent if it's a large on-site septic system where it's one whole system serving each, then I believe there is a requirement to monitor. In this case, it's individual systems on one tract of land.
Oh.
So you have individual systems and the performance of those systems. I believe there's an annual reporting requirement. Actually, I will say I don't know for the record.
Okay.
I know that when you have your system pumped, they are supposed to provide a record to the health district indicating the health of the system and the amount of effluent that is pumped out each time that they pump the septic tanks.
Okay.
So that is a reporting mechanism. And I would like to address the other comments as well, if that's okay.
Sure.
So for the conditions of approval and submittal of items in the SDAP for review, I feel like it's still prudent to include those as a submittal item for WSDOT to look at those. There could be, through the SDAP, there could be stormwater that connects into a system that we are unaware of at this point. We can come back, and one of the responses can be the emails that have already been received saying they've looked at this and they've confirmed that the development will not impact their stormwater systems. So if there's a way to revise the language and the conditions of approval I would hesitate to remove them in their entirety just to make sure that we have that confirmation at SDAP.
Okay. What about, should I leave the record open a couple of days so you guys have a chance to revise in that fashion? Or
If you feel like that is the best way forward, we can confirm and get an answer from our engineering staff.
Okay. And confirm I'll do that. That's probably the easiest way to handle it. So, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mr. Gurney. Appreciate your comments.
All right. Thank you.
All right. So back to the applicant. Mr. Weber, do you have any concluding comments you wanted to make? Like I said, I think I'm going to do is just leave the record open so you can see if you can work out some revised conditions with the county and give the county more time to confirm with engineering, you know, that they still need those conditions.
That would be, can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That would be fine. I think.
Okay.
That's fine. Yeah. Nothing so, perfect. Thank you.
Okay. So what I'll do is I'll leave the record open until next Tuesday at 5 o'clock for staff and applicant to try to work out some revised conditions. If you can't, you know, come to agreement by the 29th, then just, each of you send me writing of what you want and then I'll figure out what to do from there. So does that make sense to everybody? Okay. Sounds good. All right. So I think Ms. Freckles.
Oh, I was just saying yes. It makes sense.
Okay. Sounds good. Perfect. Okay. So the record is open until the 29th to deal with the revised conditions. If there's anyone out in the public there that wants to see those revised conditions, let Ms. Jones know and she'll send you a copy. And, and if you want to submit a response to that, please do so within 2 business days. And then I'll let staff and applicant reply to that public response. Again, that's Ms. Jones, she's the clerk of the hearing examiner. If you don't have her email. Well, Ms. Jones, can you share your email address maybe in the chat?
Yeah, I will. I'll speak it into the record. It's lrjones@kitsap.gov, lrjones@kitsap.gov. And I will also put it into the chat for everyone as well.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So if anyone out there wants to see those revised conditions, email Ms. Jones. She'll send you a copy when she gets the information from applicant staff, and then you'll have 2 business days to respond to that. So I think with that, we're adjourned for today. Thanks all for participating and have a great rest of the day.
Thank you.